Hello, everyone. So we are going to get started with some coaching tonight. It is time to get coached. All right. So this is how this call works. I have some people that already are selected through my beautiful assistant, Emily, and I'm going to call their names and then we'll get started. Nicole, Cheryl, Mary, and Brianna. So Mary, you are up first. And as you guys pour into the room, then I'm just looking for Brianna. There you go. That you guys are raising your hand. That's awesome. And Cheryl, you'll also, if you're here, you can raise your hand. All right, Mary, tell us the things. What are we coaching on today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. So I just started in April. And I find that I'm not putting things I actually want on my plan because I feel like I'm going more to my best list on my good, better, best, because I think that will, I guess, speed up the weight loss or...
What speeds up weight loss? Let's answer that real fast.
Following the doable plan.
Yeah, not overeating speeds up weight loss.
Right.
So like when your brain wants to go to best foods will be the ones that will, it's just a lie that your brain's going to tell you.
Okay.
This is not to say that best foods aren't healthy and that best foods don't like make us poop good. And yeah, like, you know, if you eat a head of broccoli, probably not going to have a major problem all your life, but best foods don't create faster weight loss. The only thing that creates faster weight loss is your ability to eat when you're hungry and to stop when you've had enough. Because you could have all the best foods on your plan and eat your fucking face off with healthy food and still not lose weight.
Right.
That's why they don't work that way. So it's good for your brain to just be like, okay. So when my brain's trying to tell me that story, I just need to be very clear with my mind on how it works so that it's not making me food shame myself. Do other kinds of bullshit that comes along with the ride if I don't keep that straight in my brain.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cause I feel like it happens more with breakfast foods where like I want like a muffin or, you know, something that I wouldn't normally have. Like I normally have like yogurt or eggs or something. And then when I want like a treat or
But a muffin isn't a treat. And like, that's again, like your brain trying to make food something other than just choices.
Okay.
Like there's nothing, like this is what's so funny. There's nothing wrong with yogurt and eggs either.
Right.
But you're making them wrong because you're saying it's like, well, I'm planning these things because of faster weight loss. So that must be wrong. It's the idea that you have this thing going on in your brain that there are like at the upper level, there's the right foods and there's the bad foods.
Right, right. Like the good and the bad food list.
Yeah, there's bad just food.
Right. I get and it.
Sometimes we, but do you?
Well, I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I think my brain needs to understand as well.
What do you think it's going to take for your brain to understand?
I think that I need to be okay with putting things on my plan that I actually want and kind of listening to, you know, I don't have to eat the whole thing. I can eat until I'm full or satisfied and that's okay. And I think I have to be okay with that.
It's not that you have to be okay with that. Like, I want you to watch how you're talking about it. You need to disprove your old thinking.
Right. Okay.
And you also need to talk about when you're planning food, like eggs and yogurt, that you also want that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you wouldn't plan them.
Right.
Even if you have a thought that it'll make weight loss happen faster, it's really important for all of you guys to really talk about your food as... You know, I do want some, there's some days I want eggs and yogurt. I noticed that there are days when eggs and yogurt do better for my body. Some days I want a muffin and I can have muffin whenever I want to, But I'm willing to decide that I can literally plan the things I want and really more focus on how do I drop that? Like, how do I lose the weight of drama around food? How do mm-hmm. I, when I lose that drama, I also lose the compulsion to overeat it because I think it's bad or I'm not going to be able to get it. Or that I've like said it's bad for so long that when I have it, I have zero skills at stopping myself.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay.
So what are we going to do tomorrow? What are you going to eat tomorrow? Let's go through your food plan for the next few days. How about that?
I'm actually going on vacation tomorrow with my
husband. Wow. Good for you.
Thank
you. So is Kathy Hartman. She's going on vacation tomorrow too. Just so everyone knows.
we are going to Disney World without children. That's where we're going.
So what are you saying? You're going to go and actually have a good time now? You don't have to drag them kids around when they're whining. It's too tired. I'm too tired.
It's a different trip. It's a different trip.
I'll tell you, the best time I ever had at Disney was I went with a girlfriend in my 20s. She and I went and we had a blast. It was like no one was bitching about waiting in line. No one was. It was so good.
Yes, that is a big difference in the trip. So we are leaving tomorrow. I did go in April successfully while, you know, keeping my plan, and I actually did lose 2 pounds that week.
Okay.
That we did go. So I think my plan is to kind of make my plans every day and really think about what I want to eat and how much I want to drink. Not just eat things that aren't worth it. Like, it has to be good and it has to be worth it, especially while I don't have control over cooking things. And so,
but this, I want you to watch, like, don't even allow yourself to think I'll have no control over cooking things. Mm-hmm. That sounds very innocent and true, but mm-hmm. it's still a thought. And it, like, I want you to think about the thought, I have no control over cooking things. How does that feel in your body? Other than true.
It makes me anxious sometimes.
Right. That's why we want to watch. So your brain is already trying to focus on things you don't have control over.
Right.
Versus saying, like, rather than thinking about going in saying, I have no control because I can't cook, saying, I'm going to go. And the one thing I know I have control over is slowing my mind down, looking at menus and deciding what would be worth it and what wouldn't.
Right.
Like when we always talk in an authority over things, then when you get there, your brain is already trained on having authority over what's going on versus going and already noticing, like, see, here we are at this restaurant. If I was cooking, I would have never picked this stuff. You know, like, watch where your brain wants to go.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And for me also more, it's watching the booze intake. So we're gonna have a good time.
I'm going to Vegas, next week. So I leave basically a week from Thursday. I'll be going to Vegas, first trip in 2 years. Hallelujah, baby Jesus. Let's just, I'm Catholic. I'm going to make a cross, everything. I'm so glad. We were talking about it today. And so I am out of practice on the whole like vacation thing. And so I've really been thinking about, all right, now's the time for me to practice before I go. It's time for me to start visualizing how I'm going to drink, how I'm going to do my plan each day. It's time for me to start visualizing what it's going to be like when I get my buzz on and I'm thinking like more is better. Right. Like, it's time for me to start really practicing how it's going to go in my mind rather than showing up and then being out of practice and trying to figure it out when I get there. I've been on vacation for, you know, good 20 years. I kind of know my patterns. Nothing's going to sneak up on me. So I'm going to practice in my mind ahead of time. And the way I do drinks is, just for all of you who are like going out, is I decide the kinds of drinks that I will have and the kinds of drinks that I won't have. So I know for me that when I go out of town, I drink two things. It's either wine. I love wine. I'm always going to be drinking wine. Or I will drink a lot of club sodas with flavored vodkas. I love club sodas and flavored vodkas, especially by the pool, because it's in a big tall glass with a lot of ice. It's refreshing and I'm getting my water in. And then I decide drinks that I'm not going to have. And I will list off like I'm not a beer girl. So I can always like, and I know I'll never drink beer. That way I won't even be tempted if I get my buzz on hard and somebody's passing a beer around. If I'm already making my mind up that I'm not a beer girl, I'm not this, I won't even in my toot toot good time, like decide I'll try a beer because that's the kind of girl I would be. Mm-hmm. I don't do sugary shots and
I made it at all. No shots.
Yeah. Like I will do a straight liquor shot, but not sugary ones, only because every time I just know me and I talk about it in a way of like, well, couldn't have sugar shots because that'll just make you overweight. Mm-hmm. It's more of like, I've just drank long enough to know that when I introduce sugary drinks, the next day is terrible. Like I'm not only hungover, but I'm hungover from the sugar coma too. So I just made agreement with myself a long time ago. I don't do them. Yep. And then I have a couple of specialty drinks that I really love. And if we ever go somewhere, it has to be a nice place, not just the hotel bar. If we go to a nice place, I will have a White Russian. I think it's the milkshake of drinks. So I will have one and it's always my special treat. And if I want one a day, I will have one. But other than that, I always make a, like, I just really know what my alcoholic protocol will be. And then I always set times. I will drink between this time and this time. So if I'm going out on date night, I always know how many drinks I'm going to have. When I go on vacation and we're day drinking, and in fact, one of my travel buddy, Lori Clary's in the chat. We're going with her. So her and her husband were meeting up. She's probably like listening going, I'm going to take notes of Queenie's drink plan and keep her on track the whole time. But like I know for me that I will want to start drinking at a certain time. And I know that I will like tell Chris, and this is the cutoff. Like on this night, we cut off at this time. And on this night, we'll cut off at this time. So that's how we do it. And then the only other thing I do when it comes to drinks is I make an agreement that I've got to get my water in. So I make it real clear with myself to overdrink my water. If I think I'm going to overdrink water, I'll probably get just enough. I don't know if that's helpful, but that's how I attack drinking.
No, that was definitely helpful. Yeah. Some good tips. Yeah.
Yeah. And so. I will tell you, I also plan one meal a day that I'm going to like really enjoy, something I would really want. If we go someplace where there's something good enough to enjoy, you know, if we're going to nachos, I'll have that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when I'm on vacation, if I'm drinking, I pretty much feel like drinking is like where I experience so much of the fun. I don't need it in the food.
Right.
You know, I like, and I really think that and tell myself those things. Like I really will say like, no, you're having so much fun over here. Like eat a little better so that you just feel better. Cause you know, when you're drinking, you're already setting yourself up to not feel like a champ the next day. So, you know, I don't really want to have a food coma hanging over me too. Cause when I leave vacation, I love to leave with no regrets. I'm never going to go home and regret a drink I didn't have or a meal I didn't, like some food I didn't eat. But right. I have had vacations where I've come home and regretted going face down in some food in a fuck it moment because I didn't give a shit. That I don't want to do to myself. And so I think about those things. And so that's kind of how I'm just super deliberate when it comes to vacations. And I end up having a very deliberate good time. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have fun.
Thanks. You too. Right. Bye. Bye.
A deliberate good time. Let's see. Who else was next? Hang on. Brianna. Remember, this is for people who've been pre-selected. So the pre-selected is Nicole and Cheryl after this.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
Hey. Yes.
Okay. All right. It's Brianna, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brianna. Well,
all right. So I have been with the program since the end of March. So I'm a newbie. I've lost 35 pounds so far, got about 65 to go.
Since the end of March?
No, I'm sorry. No. I started listening to the podcast at the end of January. So
okay. I was about to have a heart attack and say, we need to rethink what we're doing.
So for a little bit of backstory, so I'm 27, about 10 years ago, I lost all my weight. So at the time I had about 45 pounds to lose, got down to like 128, 5'2". And then slowly started to regain it all back. And so now total, I have about 100 pounds with the 35 that I've already lost. And so when I lost the weight in high school, I had never been thin before, like other than when I was really, really little. And I didn't know what that would feel like. And now I'm worried, like I know that I can do this. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that I will get to my goal weight. I mean, I follow the basics. Like, I mean, of course there are times when I have off plan eats or when I, you know, maybe overeat a little bit and like I do all the work behind it, but, and so I know that I'll get there, but my fear is what happens when I get there?
Like, let's just decide. This is what's so funny about the future.
Yeah.
Is that we're like, I just don't know what will happen when I get there.
I just
like, it would be like me saying, I don't know what I'm going to do next week on vacation.
Well, I have this idea in my head of like what I might look like. And one of the reasons that I wanted to lose weight in the first place was because of my health.
I didn't mean to kick that sound machine off.
That's okay. So one of the biggest reasons was for my health. So I have GERD. And so before I started losing weight, I was like randomly throwing up every 2 weeks because I would just overeat so much that it would, and I would drink the coffee, which triggers that. And I would do these things that just really made me feel really bad.
Yeah.
I had acid reflux to the point where I was afraid to drink water, and heartburn all the time, every day. And so I'm like, well, what if by the time I get to that goal weight, my health problems are still there? What if when I get there,
let me just ask you this.
I think I will.
That's not even beneficial. Like when your brain wants to ask that, you need to say like, well, like, here's what we'll probably do. We'll probably lose weight. And when we get there, if there's still health issues, I'll deal with them like I'm dealing with them now.
Yeah.
Versus just been like, what I don't want you to do is allow your brain to ask what I call dumbass questions over and over again.
Yeah.
Because if you ask a dumbass question, you'll get dumbass answers. Like, well, it's probably not going to work. Or the first time you overeat, it's like, see, you're probably, you know, if you ever have any kind of GERD, you'll just be like, see, no matter how much weight you lose, you're not going to get rid of that.
Yeah.
So you don't want your brain living in the land of those dumbass questions. Mm. What you do want to do though, is you want to say things like, yeah, if I lose all of my weight and I'm still having some health issues, then I will at least have lost all of my weight and I will go to work on seeing what else I can do about it.
Yeah. And I am seeing a doctor now, which I refused to do for like a year. And that's been helping a lot too.
Yes.
But,
and you can tell yourself that too. You can say, hey, we're working on it two ways. We're working on it with what we like actually consume, and we have a doctor now. Like, you can answer the question. Here's the thing about those questions: answer them intelligently or dismiss them because they're not useful questions.
That's fair. I think in a similar vein, like when I'm trying to learn how to love my body as it's changing, I notice that I compare it to what it used to be. So as it's changing, I think, okay, wow, like I've lost this much weight. I look this different. These are the great things about my body. And then of course, when I get to my goal weight, then after a certain period of time, I'm not going to be thinking about that as much. It's like, I'll be looking the same every single day for the most part. Mm-hmm. And also I think that when I think about my body now, I think about what if the things that I start to love about my body change? Because I don't know what will change exactly when I lose weight.
That's another one of those ridiculous questions. Your brain is like, it's probably, so I know you're super confident that you're going to do it. What you're not super confident in is you haven't decided what life is going to look like when you get there.
Yeah.
You're leaving it up to chance. Otherwise, your brain wouldn't ask all these questions.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you can do is start thinking now, this is what I want you guys to hear me on. We can't predict what we will really look like when we get there. I don't even think it's really useful to try to predict. I mean, I could have never, I promise all of you, at 250 and never have lost weight before, I couldn't predict what I would look like. I've never really talked about it like this, but there are things about my body to this day I'm amazed at. But I never really thought I could have arms like I do. I mean, if you look at, even when I first lost my weight, I didn't even have these kinds of arms. Like, I built them over years. But if you had to ask 250 Corinne, if you had to just showed 250 Corinne, like, boobs up, I would have been like, it's a no. Like, there's no way I could have pictured it. Mm-hmm. But I also, there were parts that I was never going to be able to picture that my brain was wrong on. I didn't have a clue that I would have as much loose skin. And in the places that I have loose skin in some areas, doesn't bother me at all. I have loose skin in some areas that, like, I want to obsess over it. So I think one of the things when it comes to, like, picturing the end result, it's not so much about what you're going to look like, but I would at least tell myself, I don't really know what I'll look like, but what I have control over is deciding how much I'm going to love it. And how much I would pull it apart. And that all begins today.
Okay.
And so we start exercising control over that. But there are things that you have immense control over when you get there, which is the amount of belief you have in yourself, the way you talk to yourself, the way you carry yourself, the way you take care of yourself, how you think about your food, you know, the relationship that you repair with food and your emotions, and how you think about how you're doing this, giving yourself this beautiful gift to heal yourself in two ways, with a doctor and with how you take care of yourself. All of that, that's what I want your brain to be thinking about in terms of, you know, we don't need to worry about the end result because we're creating it all along the way, and give it some peace and certainty of, like, here's the things I know I can totally can control and the things that I know are within my control. Then your brain will ease up on worries and doubts and stuff. It's like, you're so shored up on getting there. Your brain's like, okay, well, we're supposed to be scared. So now let me just fear that part.
Yeah.
That's what brains do.
Yeah. No, and that makes sense. Especially, I mean, the thought work itself has been amazing. I mean, the way that I think about food has changed so much since even starting to listen to podcasts. And it's funny because before I started losing weight, I thought, I just want to be fit and I don't need to worry about the food stuff. And I looked up fitness, and of course, fit and fat came up, and I was like, oh, it is about food, actually. And I'm so glad that I started listening to that podcast and decided to join, because honestly, that it's changed my life completely, 100%. I got my mom on board too. She's watching this too. But the thought work itself. And I think that, like, thinking of that confidence that I have and knowing that I'll get there hopefully will help me too. Because, like, if I know that I can work through this and I know that I can figure it out, I know that I can figure out off plan eats and overeats and things like that, like, I'm sure I can figure out the rest of it too. Maybe not this.
Absolutely.
Second, but I'm thinking way over there when, like, I need to be focusing on, like, what's happening right now and focusing on the me right now.
Because, well, and I will just say, I don't think there's any, I think you're right in let's focus on the now. But why don't you just spend just 30 minutes a week allowing yourself to envision that end goal version of you? I think a lot of us don't spend enough time figuring that person out. Like, because when you really know how you want to feel, how you want to be, and all this other stuff, the real key is saying, all right, if that's all that I want, let me start working on it now. I don't want to wait till I get there to experience. I want to experience it now. And how do I do that? In fact, for all of you, I just updated the camp information page for October. I know we just literally wrapped camp, but October's open. That is what we'll do the day three. So we're doing something called past, present, and future. But this work is what I'm asking you to do now, is taking this concept, and for about 30 minutes a week, I just, like, when you like when you do your weekly weigh-in, like, give yourself an extra 30 minutes to work on future self concept. You know, what do I envision myself thinking and feeling and being like at the end of my journey? So how can I replicate similar thoughts and feelings and actions today in my life? By the way, one, there'll be no rush to get there, but when you arrive, your identity has snapped into place. There won't be any worrying about who you're going to be because you'll already know who you're going to be.
Okay, that makes sense. I can do that.
Yeah. And but can I just say, number one, kudos to your mom. She's raised a very bright child because not many 27-year-olds would join No BS and do this kind of work. Number two, just good for you for working on this at such a young age. More women should. I'm just, there's nothing I enjoy more than to see my 20-year-olds, especially who are inside this membership, because like, don't wait till you're our age to get started. You know, like we all can change. I don't want anybody over the age of 50 throwing themselves under the bus right now. It's not too late, but the earlier you can do this, the better. It's a gift you're going to give yourself for the rest of your life.
For sure. I agree.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, who is next? Nicole. And then if Cheryl is here, will you raise your hand too? Because you're up next. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Corinne.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Well, you got a cute haircut.
Thank you. That's not what I was thinking yesterday when the lady cut my bangs really short.
No, I think you look adorable. I love it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So what are we coaching on?
So on Friday, I'm having a hysterectomy.
Okay.
No drama there. Super excited. Let's do this. Take it out. I'm ready. I've been worried though about my recovery and self-soothing with food, because I tend to have my overeats when I'm not feeling well.
Okay.
Which with my period has been all the time. And I've just gained some momentum lately, and I also work out every morning, and obviously I can't do that, and so I'm just gonna be home.
So there's a couple of thoughts that already aren't working for you. And there's one that I think will work for you. So
okay,
the one that's working for you is I've gained some momentum. So if you've already gained some momentum, there's no reason you will lose it unless you start opening the door in your mind that you can. So figuring out momentum wise, what has been helping you to not soothe with food when you don't feel good?
Realizing it's not a food problem.
Okay.
And really, I think I just unlocked the magic key recently that my thoughts do create my results and not my actions. So I keep just, well, the actions too, but I just keep trying to find the thought. I actually resisted some M&M steaks. Of course, I have this last horrible period leading right up to the surgery. There was a thing of peanut M&Ms and I really wanted some, but I was just like, I'm in control. That's not going to help. Mm-hmm. What is going to help me feel good is to not have the M&Ms and to drink my water and go on with my day. And then I'm like, yay me.
So this is what I want to tell you. That line of thinking will totally be available to you after the hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're going to need. I don't want you to think that now that I've had a hysterectomy, now that I've had pain, that changes everything. It's like, no. Because if you will keep thinking the hysterectomy has nothing to do with how I eat, versus this hysterectomy might make me soothe eat, then you're going to have a very different feeling and do line next week, depending on which one you go into it with. So if I was going into it, so I've had tons of surgeries, all the surgeries where, because I feel for you, I haven't had a hysterectomy, but I've been cut from the boobie to the knee and all the way around the world in one failed shot. So it's talk about not being able to move. I never go into those surgeries thinking, I hope I don't eat. I always go into the surgeries knowing I know how to take care of myself. And when I feel like I know how to take care of, like when I tell myself that over and over again before surgery, then I feel smart. I feel focused. I feel determined. I feel a lot of things that don't set me up for just visualizing the worst case scenario. It has me visualizing things going well. And I typically make some plans. So like I, you know, before I've had surgeries, I don't, do you have anybody helping you?
Yeah, my boyfriend.
Okay. So like when I've had surgeries, one of the things that I've always done is always give Chris, like, because Chris is not a cook, I give him a list of every restaurant he can go get us food with exactly what he can get me.
Mm-hmm.
That way, I'm like, I don't give a damn where you go. Just get something off my list. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
And then I keep easy things in the house. So if I need it, everything's portioned, everything's ready to go. And I'm just like, I don't care what you're eating, but when you bring me food, that's what I want. Like I make all the decisions ahead of time, knowing I want to feel my best through recovery. I do not want to be sitting around eating and numbing out.
That's good. I have some meal prep to do. And I did make him promise that after the surgery, when I'm kind of in the anesthesia haze, that he will not listen to anything I say.
Oh yeah.
As far as food, I'm like, just show up with some water and a banana and promise.
Tell him to show up with water, banana, some, Miralax and a couple of Colace. If you really want something,
I've got that ready.
Get that poop protocol going ASAP. The first thing I do before I leave, I will take Colace the day before, and then the moment they will let me have water, I'm like, hook me up. Like, let's get it going.
So you started the day before the procedure.
Ask your doctor to make sure, but my doctors have always let me take something the day before so that we're going in strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there before with a wisdom tooth surgery, and it was like more traumatic than the actual surgery. Yeah.
If my mother's on here, she can attest. The one time I got backlogged, I almost passed out. I'd had a major surgery. Like if I'd fell in the floor, I would have tore half my ass wide open. And it would have been left in the floor. Couldn't go to the bathroom. Broke out in a cold sweat and then almost passed out because I was having some kind of, like, I don't even know what it's called, but there's a reaction. My mother caught me. They got me to bed. And by the time that she was giving me an enema in the bed, we were both saying Hail Marys and I was screaming, say it out loud. I want to hear it.
Wow.
I was ready to go into the labor. Yeah, it was that or go to the emergency. She just kept saying, baby, you go to the emergency room. Last thing you want is with all them suture lines, them doctors giving you that enema. I'll do it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, but back to coaching, let's make sure that you have your mind totally dialed into, I have momentum. There's no reason for it to change. I know that my thoughts do everything. I've talked to my boyfriend. I've made my plans. Like, assure your brain on all of this. And then when it just comes to the workout part, I will give you the best hack ever. So I love to work out. And when I've had surgeries, it's been hard for me to sit still. So I had to hack myself to do it. And what I would do is, so like they would tell me they would want me to walk each day a little bit, like, you know, with a pillow and just make a lap around the island, whatever they said. I literally would put it on my plan as that is my exercise for the day. So that I would check that off the box, because what it will do, especially for when you have surgery, is teach you that exercise is for movement, not for weight loss.
Right.
So you keep the habit of having that time dedicated and scheduled. And then as you're allowed to do a little more, you just write a little more. You know, if I used to plan meditation, one of the things that I would do is, because I'm not a meditator, I don't like meditating, but when I would have surgery, I would tell myself, like, on the days when all I can do is really walk two laps around the island of my kitchen, then I could lay in bed and I would practice meditation and say, all right, we're going to exercise our brain then. For me, it was the keeping the appointment with myself, keeping the habit of saying, this is when we're doing movement, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And then when I was able to scale up movement, I hadn't lost the habit of doing it. I was always in the thinking pattern of it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Do you need anything else?
I don't think so. So, okay. Because I keep having these very strong, you know, intentional thought models. But then they're still like, but.
Right. This guy, this is always going to come, except after surgery. Then he's like disappeared. That's why we do the mirror lashes. But don't expect this to go away. Like,
okay.
The point is, this is supposed to happen. Like, your old shitty thoughts are supposed to happen all the time. Your job is to be intentional with your thinking. As often as needed.
Okay.
Eventually what happens is those thoughts do die away, but you're going into something brand new. Our brain is supposed to be like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. That's its job. But your reasoning brain's job is say, and we have a plan. And we have had momentum. We've learned our lesson. Like, I know you're freaking out because in the past, we've ate when we've been in pain. And now we know we're going to be in pain. It's a natural conclusion that we would want to eat.
Yeah.
But it's not true anymore. That's just where my brain wants to go. Your job is to kind of just keep redirecting the entire ship that way. That's okay. Let it do its job. That your brain is just like saying, like, are you sure? Are you sure? It's like, yeah, we're going to hysterectomy. We're very sure.
Yeah. Sure as shit.
That's right.
You know, I think you coined the phrase shame shaw on a call with me in like a couple years ago.
Probably.
I heard you say it the other day and like, I was like, I'm pretty sure that came from my call.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The shame shaw is like, we were at a meeting last week with my team and somebody's tried to do something. And I was like, do I need to go get a shame shaw for you?
Oh, they're the worst.
Yeah. You'll do fine. Just keep redirecting your brain. That's the normal process. A lot of us think that that's not normal. It's like, yeah, but why do those old thoughts come when I have a new one? It's like, because they're supposed to.
Okay.
Nothing is going wrong in that process. The only thing that can go wrong is if you stop countering them, then you're just left with what your default brain wants to think. And we don't want just what our default brain wants to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said something really good on a call the other day. You said, when you have those thoughts, like, well, what's your next thought? That was a good one for me. I'm like,
yeah. Just keep doing that over and over again. Okay. I promise you. And then eventually your brain does calm down, or you get really good at hearing them and redirecting. Your brain's like, oh yeah, we're redirect. Like, it will get into the habit of the redirection. Yeah. And it will know what's happening there. But that takes time to teach your brain a new way to think and a new way to do things. It's not an overnight fix. And it's always going to, guys, your brain will always have negative thinking. It's always going to have useless thoughts. It's always going to have broken thoughts. That's just, there's no eradicating all of them. The goal isn't to eradicate them all and have perfect thinking. The goal is to understand when you have a thought that's tripping you up and what to do about it. You know that skill, never have to worry about the rest of it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, good luck.
Feeling good. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Y'all, I can always tell when I'm coming off camp. My coaching is fast. Like, I've been in the zone all weekend long. And I'm just like, boom, boom, boom. And then we get far away from camp, but everybody takes an hour. All right. Is Cheryl Murphy here? If you're here, go ahead and raise your hand. Just making sure I understand what she means by the shame shawl. So here's the shame shawl, Natalie. I'll tell you since Cheryl's not here. The shame shawl is where, let's say we have an overeat and we're like, fuck me. I suck. I'm never going to lose weight. Then we start feeling shame about overeating. So the way that I describe it is, it's just like a lot of us who love to shame ourselves. It's like we should just have a shawl and we just drape it and we just sit in it. That's what the shame shawl is. All right, let's take a few questions. If somebody wants coaching, raise your hand. Elizabeth, looks like you got up first. And then I'll answer a couple of questions and we'll get out of here. I got Elizabeth, y'all. Hey.
Hello?
I want to coach you not too long ago. What are we coaching on today?
Well, I'm just a little frustrated because I've been doing this for 6 weeks and I haven't lost any weight.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, tell me what's going on.
Well, I'm doing good at like leaving, you know, a bite, at least a bite, sometimes two bites behind.
Okay.
Last time you coached me on my plan, staying on plan, and I've gotten better at that.
Okay. So we're better at staying on plan, and sometimes you're leaving a bite behind.
Oh yeah, I always am.
Always leaving a bite behind. Okay.
I'm not always getting my water in, but I don't know if that would do it.
Yeah. And, they call water a fat burner for a reason. It burns fat. So if you don't want to burn fat, don't drink water.
Okay. Well, that could be it. I'm you know, eating well.
Are you waiting for hunger?
Yes, I am.
100%?
Sometimes, 100%, yeah. Maybe sometimes I struggle with stopping when I've had enough.
Okay, so this is really
a bite or two behind, but maybe I've eaten a lot already, you know?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. So I think in the very beginning, what happens is that when you leave a bite or two behind, like let's say I order a large pizza.
Uh-huh.
And if I eat everything but one slice and I'm used to eating the whole pizza, that's a level up from eating a whole pizza, but that doesn't mean that I actually stopped it enough. It means I started the habit of paying attention and making a difference in what's happening.
Okay.
What you can do, there's two things I want you to work on for the next month. Number one, no excuses on the water.
Okay.
Let's get that going because that is really key.
I think I need to add some lemon or something to it, you know?
Yeah, anything you need to add to it's fine. Like, even if you like Crystal Light, add Crystal Light. Doesn't matter. I add Extend to my water. I rarely drink pure water. I almost always drink a product called Extend. It's kind of like Crystal Light. I wouldn't go looking for it.
Okay.
Then the other thing that I would do is I would spend this next month focusing on what is enough versus just leaving a couple of bites behind.
Okay. Like maybe not loading up my plate.
Right. Like maybe like, so here's what a lot of people do is they will, whatever their normal size plate is, they start either using a smaller plate than what they're accustomed to, or they serve themselves a third less than what they usually do.
Okay.
So it's not like we're going halvesies, which I wouldn't do that. But like if you normally give yourself, let's say, four scoops of mac and cheese, you do three now. Like you're going to do like a 25 to 30% less of a serving. Eat that. Because a lot of times what's happening, if we're not losing, but we're making plans and we're doing the things, probably because we haven't dialed in enough yet. We're eating better than we were, but we're not really eating enough. We're still like, for me personally, I can totally overeat and it feel like enough.
Oh, okay.
It's like you got to ratchet it down a little bit, and I bet you that will shake it loose.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks for taking my call again, Corinne. I won't give up.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'm glad you're not going to give up.
Okay.
Bye. Let me do the questions real quick, and then I'll grab one more person. I'm a new member, and this is good for me to hear. Is there a good, better, best worksheet? I'm not finding it on the worksheet page. Yes, there is, Sophia. It is actually, it's in a couple of places. We actually have it in Basics 2.0 this month, but if you go to, if you'll ask that question inside the chat over here, Dina will link you to it. I believe it's in No BS, and it's in the lesson with good, better, best. So if you go to the website, a lot of our No BS worksheets are inside the No BS actual lessons and stuff, but we can hook you up with it. Can you share more of your tips for vacation food when you know you're eating out but don't know where you will be? Yeah. So if I don't know where I'm going to be, I have a few rules that I do for myself. And so let me say it this way. I like to have a few rules for me. And this is my thought about my dining out rules and my vacation rules. My thought is they help me enjoy my vacation. They make my decisions easier. They set me up to not have to overthink, drool, and wish I was eating other shit. So a lot of you hear like vacation rules and think like, oh my God, here it comes. All the things I can't have. Y'all have some shitty fucking thoughts about rules. I have some amazing fucking thoughts about rules. So when I say I come up with some rules, they're literally made so I can have a good fucking time while I'm on vacation. So that's number one. Number two, if I don't know where I'm going to eat, here are Corinne's rules. I do not eat out of bread baskets. I just don't. I have rare, like if a restaurant is known and has a bread artisan, then I would eat some bread. But most of the time when I go out and they slap down some bread, it may taste good and have butter and all this other stuff, but it's not worth it to me. Like when I look at the grand scheme of what I want to eat, it's low on my priority list. So for me, bread, it's a no. Chris and I rarely order appetizers. We're not appetizer people. We've always said we'd rather enjoy an amazing entree. If we're not drinking, then usually what I do is I'll have an entree and dessert. If I'm drinking, I just eat an entree. Like I'm not the kind of person who's like going to eat all the things. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to be that person, you can be. I just would rather eat more of my entree. I know that if I'm having dessert and I want to have some appetizer and I want to have some bread, then I'm going to get a little bit of each one, knowing what it takes to get to enough. And so I don't want to spread the bets. I want to go all in on whatever it is that I'm going to be eating. And then when I eat stuff, guys, I just look at it and I just like, I'm a customizer. So if I'm going to order a steak, I don't need them to lop a big wad of butter on a fucking fine piece of ribeye. I don't need that. If I'm having, a lot of times, I'll ask them what kind of French fries you got, because if I'm going to eat French fries, it better be good French fries. I don't want to be eating bullshit French fries. If they're going to be crinkle cut, all right, a style, and you will be surprised at how many restaurants do that. I don't want those. I'll get down on some hand cut, soaked with some seasoning, crispy ass French fries. Those are good. But I'm just choosy. I'm going to enjoy my food. So I just look at different things. I just decide what I am going to have, what I'm not. I very rarely, if I'm going to eat a salad, I will always get my salad dressing on the side. I'm a dipper. Even at home, I don't do a lot of dressing. I like dressing, but I've never been one to douse dressing. So I'm almost always going to get it on the side. I'm not a crouton girl. I don't have anything against bread, but when I eat a salad, I never think croutons add that much value to the whole experience. So I don't waste my time on fucking croutons. So what I do is I just kind of look at what they're going to bring me. And there are like little things. I'm just like, am I really going to miss that? If I'm not going to miss it, I'm not going to get it. If I'm going to miss it, if it's going to make the experience, I'm all in. So that's just kind of how I do it. Let's see. Lots of people loving 2.0, Basics 2.0. Let's see. Lots of people just telling me all the kinds of things they like. Laura, Gary, do your thought work. Well, Laura Gary, raise your hand. You got coached at camp about your doctorate. Let's do that. You'll be the last one. So if you signed up for camp, you saw Laura Gary, she did not get into her doctorate program. And now she has some old shitties. All right.
Hey, lady.
I probably don't need to hear the old. Give me one of the old shitties that's like getting you. So we didn't get, all we've got going on, the circumstance is didn't get into the program, right?
Right. I think the biggest one that's getting me is that I really believed I was going to. Like, I really believed it. And if I can have that much confidence in myself and not get in, where else am I wrong?
That's a terrible, shitty question. Like, you could be thinking, let me just tell you what you could be thinking, Laura. I'm going to give you a freebie. You could be thinking, I've really learned how to go all in on my dreams and really believe in myself. Sometimes people don't know to accept me. Like, sometimes it doesn't matter how much we believe in ourselves. Sometimes shit isn't going to happen. But you're smart enough now to really go all in on believing in yourself instead of hedging your emotional bets and spending all that time miserable and doubting. And then be like, see, it's true. I'm not good enough. You could have spent all that time being that person and you didn't do that. You spent a lot of time believing in yourself, learning how to go all in, take all the risks, be courageous, do all of that, and you didn't get in. That doesn't mean you're wrong about other things. It means you've learned how to go all in on yourself.
And then keep going.
And keep going.
And keep going and not make it mean anything else other than I went all in.
Why don't we just be sad and disappointed because our expectations weren't met, but not be self-loathing that we must be wrong about ourselves? Like, you get to be upset. You looked forward to it. You get to experience what it's like to be like, what I thought was going to happen didn't happen. That's called normal. But what's not normal is when you throw away all of that really good thought work you did on yourself and all of that amazing shit you did to believe in yourself, all because you didn't get in.
All right. So just give myself time to feel it and to be okay with feeling sad and feeling disappointed.
And
leave the rest.
I think this is where, you know how I talk about holding two emotions at the same time? This is where we hold the emotion of sadness and disappointment because, like, of course I'm sad. I wanted this and it's not now. I also am proud of myself because I went after my dreams, and a lot of people are sitting around too afraid to do it. Uh-huh. Like, you get to have both at the same time. That's the beautiful part of life. And you can handle not feeling great about it. I just don't want you throwing yourself under the bus because of it.
Right. And I am working really hard on that today, on not doing it, on just being kind to myself, taking it easy, letting it. And I haven't started journaling on what else could be true here yet, but I will. And I know I have the tools for that. And to keep going with that.
Yes.
All right.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't get in, but I am proud of you. You went for it. You got coached on it again today.
I know.
Pretty fucking good.
I know.
Is that your man?
My guy, he doesn't like seeing me cry. It's okay.
Tell him I said it was okay for you to cry because we're not crying over self-loathing anymore.
I will let him know.
All right.
Thanks so
love
much.
You, girl. All righty.
Love you.
Bye.
Oh, not really.
Y'all, I am hot as a motherfucker right now. Like, I can't even tell you how much I'm sweating. All right, let's see. I'm at goal and feeling amazing. I feel like everything is falling into place. My thought work is on point. I am having trouble believing I'm worth this amazing life I'm living in. Like, the shoe is going to drop. This is so common, Jennifer. So this is self-sabotage. This is where, I talked about it this weekend at camp, but this is where, like, a lot of times we're so used to like everything being a struggle, or we're used to working hard, or we're used to this one identity, where we're working hard, where like we believe in ourselves, but there's a little bit of like a little bit of us is like, but what if it doesn't happen and stuff? Then all of a sudden what happens is that you crash into the successful version of yourself. You exceed what you probably on the inside believed you could do. So most of us, when it comes to weight loss, we start with the idea that we can't do it. Can't do it, can't do it. Never happened for me, blah, blah, blah. We start having success. We start having success. We start opening the door to what if I can? What if I can? And we spend a lot of time thinking this is going to happen. You know, I'm getting really lucky. I hope this will last. We feel good, but we're not exactly convinced on the inside, even though all of the results on the outside are matching up. Like, no, it's happening. Look at you. You're losing all your weight. Then we crash into this successful version of ourselves and it knocks us off our rocker a little bit. And what ends up happening is we start thinking it's too good to be true. It's so that our brain still probably is worried that we can't keep it off or that we can't hang on to it. So it looks for little things like, you know, you're not good enough to have this, or it'll start saying like, well, you know, this is really great, but just remember bad things always happen to us, or we need to be on our guard because the last time you lost weight, this happened. Our brain wants to downregulate. It's wanting to set the field even. So it's like, if you've been hedging your bets and kind of playing it safe, like I don't want to believe too much, I'm willing to believe some, but I don't want to believe too much. Then when you get there, the same thing happens. You crash into the successful version of yourself. The next thing you know, you're hedging your bets. Well, I don't want to believe too much in this. So your brain creates a little bit of drama to lower the temperature. It's just trying to match. Your job is, as you hear this, you're smart enough to notice that you're doing it. I want you to hear me, Jennifer, when I say this. You're smart enough to notice this is happening and the solve is super simple. All you need to do is each day, you need to say, what do I need to do today to truly appreciate my amazing life? Why am I deserving of my amazing life? This is uncomfortable work for a lot of us. When we have all spent so much time so afraid we might lose it, it's like we don't want to own it. That's what's happened to me over the last couple of years. I've gotten coached on this so much. I've told y'all this story and I won't cry today over it, but I really spent a lot of last year getting coached over loving my life. I knew I had a good one. I knew that I have beat the odds on like changing my family tree when it comes to weight, changing my entire family's financial future. No one in my family's ever been successful like me. To be able to take care of my mother, to be able to retire my husband, to be able to, you know, gift my niece college, to be able to build out my son's, you know, savings for his future. So if something happens to me, I never have to worry about him. Like to be able to do that was really hard. And so what I did was I was so worried I'd lose it that I would just spend a lot of time worrying I'd lose it, not enjoying any of it. And so I would tell my coach, like, I see an amazing life in front of me. Like I almost can touch it, but I can't take it in. And I really had to practice doing it. I had to write about why I deserve it, how I got here. I had to take ownership that I created all of it, not try to give it away to other people. There's nothing wrong with saying like other people help you out and stuff, but I was doing it at my own detriment. I wouldn't want to be the smart one. I didn't want to be the one that did the work. I wanted to give the kudos around because if I was the one who did it, then it made me imagine that I could be the one who could lose it too. And so I really had to do this work and convince myself it's not going away. You're smart. You deserve all of it. And by taking it in does not increase the riskiness of losing it. And that was the work I had to do. And I think that's what happens with a lot of times when we finally lose our weight. we don't know how to believe it's really gone. We have to teach ourselves. We did it. Here's the new life. We get to believe it. And here's why. We get to trust it. Here's why. Here's how your life has changed. Here are the decisions you make that you used to never make. Like, we get to own all of it. But it does take work. This is that next level work. A lot of us are good at losing weight. Most of us aren't good at celebrating that we did it and being willing to let go of the struggle. Some of us find safety in the struggle, and we don't need to find safety in the struggle anymore. Okay. That's it for today. All right. We've been at it for an hour. You guys, y'all have an amazing one. I will see you all at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, Central Time. We will be doing the week 3 basics 2.0 worksheet. Let me see what it is. That's week 4. My doable. Oh my gosh, we talked about it tonight. I hope I didn't give all of it away tonight. My doable foundation for eating out. One of the reasons why we wanted to include it in here is because, number one, it's summer. Vacations are starting. This program is also releasing at a time when a lot of us are going back out to eat. We haven't done it in a long time, and we need to visualize our success. So I'll see you guys in the morning where we'll talk about that. Otherwise, y'all have a great night. Bye, y'all.